Facebook, an online community software most of us are a member of. If you're a member of Facebook, put up your hand. Okay, most of us are a member of this online community. It helps us to connect, help us to build friendship. If you're not in Facebook yet, since most of us are already there, you want to really get to know each other, you can go to www.facebook.com. Okay, facebook.com. And, yes, David? Really? Is there an age limit there?
Yeah.
You have to be how old?
13.
13. Okay, then wait until you're 13 years old. That's a good thing. But because if you don't handle that well, you can spend too much time in it. Maybe that's the reason why. So I appreciate Facebook doing that. Okay.
You always lie about your age.
Huh?
You always lie.
Oh, some people may lie, but never lie, okay? Wait until you're 13. Don't lie. Okay. Okay, people are getting too excited when I mention Facebook. By the way, in Facebook calls everyone in your contact list friends. When I check the number of friends a popular friend of mine has, guess the number, how many friends she has? Let me give you some multiple choices. 500. Okay? 1,000. 105,000. Oh no. 1,500. 1,500. 2,000. 2,500.
2,500.
2,000.
Okay. The answer is 1,568. Quite impressive, right? Imagine yourself having 1,568 friends. That's a lot of people. Our church, adding even the children, probably about 200 people only. I wonder how many friends you have in Facebook. That's quite impressive. But in comparison to Britney Spears, that's just a small number. 1,500 is just a small number. I checked that Britney Spears also has a Facebook fans club. Guess how many people are in one of Britney Spears' Facebook fans club? Let me again give you multiple choices. 500,000, 900,000, 1,300,000, or 1,700,000. Jeffrey, huh? That's a good guess. Okay, put up your hand before you answer a question, alright? That's a good guess, Gabriel. Actually, very close. It's 1,302,644. Okay, so that's 1,300,000 fans. When it comes to friends according to Facebook standards, looks like the more the better, right? Do you feel like you want to have more friends in your Facebook contact or friends list? Why do we desire that? I think we all desire friendship. We think that the more friends, according to Facebook standards, we have, the happier we will be, right? Don't you get excited when someone say, oh, I want to add you as my friend? You get excited, add, okay? Or you invite people to be your friend, and you get really excited when the number increases. Like in the stock market, adults will be excited when the stock price increases. I think kids enjoy that pleasure in Facebook, similar to what adults enjoy in the stock market. But you know what the Bible says about friends? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says that a man of many companions may come to ruin or trouble, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The Bible seems to have a different view about friendship. Not the more, the better. But looking for that special true friend, just one might be enough. Why? Why having many companions, most of them are not true friends, would cause you trouble, ruin, instead of happiness or blessing? It's time for you guys to think. Why does the Bible say that having many companions will cause you trouble or ruin? Put up your hand if you know, have an answer. Don't be afraid of giving a so-called wrong answer. It's just a way for us to think about God's word. Put up your hand or I'll start calling names. Jason, why?
Because when you have too many companions, it's not like best for like a crowd. And then like, you know, there's no room to fit in all like a big crowd.
Uh-huh, a big crowd?
Yeah.
So what problem will be caused by having a big crowd around you?
Because it's a big crowd and you only buy one crowd, you're going to buy everyone else, right?
Uh-huh.
Eat up all your food.
Eat up all your food, okay, when you have a party, okay? Okay. Actually, that makes sense, right? along the same line, I think it's because we have limited amount of time, of money, and of energy and other resources. And friends who are not true friends, they can use up your resources. And you end up without resources to do what is really beneficial to you and others. For example, if all of your friends are party friends, okay, all are party friends, they lack discipline, they lack control, they party every day, they get drunk every night, or they play non-productive games all night long, guess what will happen to you? I think you'll do the same, okay? You're their friend. They do this, you want to fit in, and you do the same. Most likely you'll waste the whole spring break doing nothing productive. If all your friends are party friends, okay, because they just want to party and invite you there, you cannot say no because you want friendship. I think it's okay if there's no schoolwork after spring break, or no exams after spring break. But the fact is, there are exams and there are school assignments due after spring break. What would happen if you have been spending your whole spring break just partying, just having fun, but doing nothing productive? I think you'll suffer next week or the week after your spring break because another assignment is due and you find out that, oh, I haven't spent any time on the assignment and I need to burn my midnight oil. As a result, you deprive yourself of one of the most precious things that I cherish, sleep. You don't get enough sleep. And actually some of my friends, they actually slept like only a couple of hours the whole week. Only sleeping for a couple of hours the whole week, just taking short naps here and there. I think in the long run, if they do that, it would really take a toll on their health. But they will have health problems if they continue to do that. And after that week, I think they might get sick because the immune system will become weaker if they don't get enough sleep, don't get enough rest, and or they get so exhausted they feel no more energy or motivation to continue studying or do what they need to do the week after. And yet it's only about 2 weeks before final exam, okay? And you don't want to get sick before final exam. And you want to continue to be motivated, to be disciplined, to finish your schoolwork and be prepared for your exam before final exam, right? Or otherwise, you might not be able to pass the class. And you might need to repeat that and wasting your money and time. So that's why it's really important that you have true friends instead of just partying friends. And I believe not all your Facebook friends are your true friends. Just be honest. Today we'll learn from Proverbs the wisdom in making true friends. We will see four good qualities in a true friend represented by F, F, C, C. What does that represent? You'll find out later. To help you remember, I'll just use this to help you remember. San Francisco is a cool city. S, F, C, C. Okay? Remember this. But each letter represents something different in a good friend. But you also see some bad examples of false friends. These are the friends you should avoid or not be closely associated with, although you can still love them, but don't do what they do. Or don't be so closely associated with them that you will be badly influenced by them. If you take to heart what you will learn today and actually practice that, I think you will be able to become a true friend to others, And you will be able to find true friends with the wisdom that God will give you. And I think your life will be a life of blessing instead of a life of vicious cycles, always like being cursed under the influence of bad friends, not even getting sleep. That's one of the most essential things that you need for your life. The first quality that we will see in a good friend is represented by S. A true friend saves or helps. Proverbs 27 verse 10 says that, "Do not forsake your friend." This is a true friend. "And the friend even of your fathers. And do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." Here it's saying that your father's true friend can save you or help you when you are in trouble or when you need help. And a nearby neighbor who is a true friend can help more than a brother or relative far away. One day, all of you would leave your home, those students who are still staying with your family, and you find out that when you are, for example, in Pennsylvania or in California, no family around. You are in need. Who can help you? Your family members might just talk to you through a phone call. But it is those true friends who live close to you who can help you. You know, there is a Chinese proverb that says almost exactly the same thing. What is that Chinese proverb? 远亲不如近邻. It's almost like a literal translation of this verse. This verse says that, "Do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." 远亲, a brother far away. Okay? 不如, okay? This is better. Better a neighbor nearby. 不如近邻. Amazing, Chinese people actually do have some wisdom about living, okay? So, although there are not wise sayings in China that I find hard to also find in the Bible. Although they don't know who Jesus Christ is. But it looks like God has given people some general wisdom we can find in different cultures. But it's a pity that many people no longer appreciate some of the wise sayings even in the Chinese culture. Of course, very few people appreciate the wise sayings in God's word that does not deceive and that gives us wisdom. I had an uncle. His name was Uncle Miao. Miao is his last name. He was a friend of my grandfather. My grandfather was a judge in the Supreme Court in Taiwan. And my grandfather saved Uncle Miao when he was younger, when he was doing business and made a bad business decision. Because my grandfather was a judge in the Supreme Court, he was able to help him to avoid an unnecessary imprisonment, to be put in jail because of the mistake he made. And Uncle Miao was so thankful to my grandfather's help that when I went to Hong Kong, when my brother wanted to go to the United States to further his studies from mainland China, Uncle Miao was willing to give full support. And I remember that my brother actually went to the USA embassy, and the official there looked through his applications, applying for visa to go from China to the United States. But he was frowning. He felt this is not a good application. He was ready to say no to that. And finally he saw the letter written by Uncle Miao. It's a letter showing that he's willing to show full support, to give full support to my brother's studies here. It would be impossible without this letter for my brother and later for me to come to the United States, because I grew up in a very poor family. And my father worked in a factory, and my mom worked in a restaurant. Okay, so it was impossible for them to afford me to come to the United States or my brother. But you know what the official in the embassy did after seeing that letter? He said, "Why didn't you show it to me earlier, this letter?" He quickly approved of it. Because Uncle Miao was a very important person in Hong Kong, and he was quite wealthy. Okay, so with proof of his financial status, very easily, my brother and also myself was able to come to the United States. See, it's because my grandfather was a true friend to Uncle Miao. As a result, Uncle Miao also became a true friend to him by willing to even help his grandkids. See, what a difference a true friend can make even after a generation. There are true friends who can save you, who can help you when you are in trouble. That's why even there's an American saying says that a friend in need is a friend indeed, right? I think that is a very good quality in a true friend. If you have such a friend who is always willing to help you when you're in trouble, always looking out for you to make sure that you're doing okay, you should cherish such a friend, because such friends are very few. You should even cherish your father's or your grandfather's friend, true friend, because they can help you. Have a good relationship with them. Who knows, you might need their help in the future. But there are also false friends. As in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20, and chapter 19, verse 6. Let's read that. The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. See, they have false friends who will run away from you when you are poor and needy. But they will run to you when you are rich and you are not in need. When it's time to party, when you have a big house to provide all the food, everything that the party needs, they will be there for sure. But when you are in trouble, when you lose your job, when you have no money, such friends will be gone. Let me tell you, such are not good friends. They are false friends. Chapter 19, verse 6 says that many curry favor. Here, curry is not the food, okay? It's just saying that many curry favor or gain favor with the ruler, someone who has power, and everyone is the friend. I believe many of them are not true friends of a man who gives gifts. Chinese people enjoy giving gifts, because the more gifts you give, the so-called more friends you have, who mind receiving gifts? But I think the recipients of the gifts, many of them come to you because of the gift, they might not be the true friends. False friends run away when you have no social status and power, and have no gifts for them. But they run to you when you have social status, power, and gifts for them. Watch out for such so-called friends. They are not true friends. There were two men who went out hunting in the northern U.S. Suddenly, one yelled and the other looked up and saw a grizzly bear charging towards them. The first started frantically, put on his tennis shoes, and his friend anxiously asked, "What are you doing? Don't you know you can outrun a grizzly bear? He will catch you no matter how fast you run." But his friend, so-called friend, says, "I don't have to outrun a grizzly, I just have to outrun you."
Where is that joke getting from?
Already? Okay. So, if this is your friend, watch out, because when there's a grizzly bear, you will be eaten alive and he'll have run away already. Prosperity begets or gives birth to friends. So-called friends, when you are prosperous, you have money, you have gifts, you have status, power, but adversity proves them. When you are in trouble, it is a good time for you to actually find out who are your good friends. So that's why you should appreciate adversity or even suffering. Because in suffering, you seem to have lost a lot of things, but you might be able to test who are your true friends, and you will appreciate having true friends like that. I think it's often difficult during difficult times that you will find out who are your true friends. I hope that we can all be true friends who saves or helps when people are in need, instead of someone who only takes but never gives. We should cherish and invest our time, our energy, even money in a relationship with a true friend, instead of one who only takes but never gives. You use up all your resources. You might become a poor man for nothing. They will just continue to take and take and take until you have nothing else to give. Be careful when you're making friends. The second quality in a good friend is forgiveness. A true friend forgives. First, S. The second is F. F stands for forgiveness. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 9 says that he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. When you make a mistake, someone chooses not to be offended by that, but instead try to not remember that and not to revenge, or not to just spread out, tell everybody about your mistakes. This is someone with love. That's why he will promote love and you will become closer friends. This is a true friend. On the contrary, those who repeat the matter separate even close friends. You made a mistake, that person tells everyone else about your mistake behind your back. You know, even your so-called close friends might decide not to be your friend, or their friendship might be affected by that. So here is a good example of a true friend and a bad example of a false friend. Old Joe was dying on his deathbed. For many years, he had been holding grudges against Bill. Formerly, Bill was his best friend. But because of some mistakes made in the relationship, he could not forgive him. But he really wanted to straighten things out before he died. So he sent the word for Bill to come and see him before he died. When Bill arrived, Joe told him that he was afraid to go into eternity with such a bad feeling between them. Then very reluctantly and with great effort, Joe apologized for things he had said and done. He also assured Bill that he also forgave him for his offenses. Everything seemed fine until Bill turned to go. Okay, I heard your apology. That's time for me to go. And old Joe was dying. But as Bill was walking out of the room, Joe called out after him, "But remember, if I get better, this doesn't count." Okay, this is not true forgiveness. True forgiveness is really hard. But I think this is the key to lasting relationships. I know many business partners, best friends, boyfriends and girlfriends, wives and husbands, they have become enemies because they were not able to forgive each other when either party made a mistake or offended the other one. Someone who freely forgives can be a true friend and will have true friends as well. On the other hand, someone who cannot forgive cannot be your true friend. Why? You might seem to be buddies now, but when you make a mistake, and I'm sure you'll make a mistake in the future in the relationship, do something offensive to that person. He says that, "I cannot forgive you." Let's end the relationship. See, why lack of forgiveness will result in relationships that never last. Forgiveness is the key to lasting relationships. A true friend forgives, but a false friend acts differently. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 28 says that a perverse man, a man whose thinking and behavior are wrong or abnormal, a perverse man stirs up dissension or disagreement or causes conflicts among people, and a gossip separates close friends. A gossip, something that you say about someone, mistake sometimes, it's a rumor, can cause that person's friend to want, you know, to be very suspicious of his friend. And a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much in his personal life. Why? Someone who talks too much might sometimes unintentionally tell a secret that should be kept. So be very careful when you have a friend who is just talking too much, not just with you, with everybody, non-stop talking all the time. Be careful. Don't share a secret with such a friend, because I'm sure your secret cannot be kept with such a so-called friend. We need wisdom in making friends. In a survey of more than 40,000 Americans, these qualities were most valued in a friend. First, the ability to keep secrets, top on the list, the ability to keep secrets. Two, loyalty. Three, warmth and affection. Do you have a friend who forgive you when you make a mistake, instead of gossip about it behind your back? If you have such a friend who will forgive you, cherish such a friend. Develop such friendship. It can become a blessing for the rest of your life. But avoid closely associating with people who gossip, who talk too much, cannot keep a secret. Third quality of a true friend. A true friend corrects. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says that wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Here's something really interesting. A so-called true friend will sometimes point out your mistakes, and that hurts. That doesn't make you feel good when someone says that you're wrong. You made a mistake. We always want people to praise us. Oh, you're so good, you're so smart, you're so handsome. And yet that person always points out your mistakes. That person gets onto your nerves. And you don't want to sometimes be with such a person. But actually, someone out of true love to you does not want you to make a bad decision because you don't see the potential mistakes. Do that because he truly loves you. On the other hand, there are so-called friends who are actually enemies to you because they will kiss you all the time. They will show, I really love you, always praising you. Even when you are making a silly mistake, that person will say, good job, good job. You have such a friend. In our dealings with those caught in sexual lust, like adultery, pornography, and other sexual sins, mercy is incomplete unless we do as Jesus did, call it sin, and tell a friend, this is sin. This is wrong, my friend. Although you might not like me when I tell you that, but you should stop doing that. Because it is harmful to you and to others if you continue in sin. It is disruptive to God's dream and plan for you if you continue to ignore, neglect the sins in your life. If you have such a friend, I should congratulate you. This is another true friend. Someone says that acquaintances, someone you just know. I think in Facebook, most of the people are acquaintances. You know them, maybe you have met them once. Some of them, you don't even know them. You just see their photo and this person seems like a nice person. I want to, you know, be a friend to that person, so please add me, and the person asks you. But you're just acquaintances. You don't really know each other. Acquaintances accept, always say good things about whatever you do. That makes you feel good, often. But friends encourage. Brothers exhort or correct. A brother is like a true friend who's willing to tell you when you make a mistake, you have made a mistake. Someone once said, when you made a mistake, someone praises you for it, he is your enemy. When you did something right, someone praises you for it, he is your friend. But when you made a mistake and someone corrects you, he is your teacher and a true friend, not just a teacher. What if you have in your friends list two friends who actually can correct your mistake, who are also nice teachers to you? I think this person would help you to correct many of your mistakes or sins. maybe you can go home, look through your Facebook friends list, and do some type of evaluation that I do. I separate my so-called friends into different lists. Some I'll see if this is a very sincere friend. Some I'll call that a spiritual friend. Some I'll say, oh, this is a very responsive friend or acquaintance. But to those spiritual friends, I really appreciate because these are very godly people. Some of them are pastors. Some of them are my brothers and sisters in Christ who really fear the Lord. And they follow God's teachings in the Bible. And they often can correct me when I make a mistake. And these are the people I'm willing to spend more time investing more of my time, energy, and even money to develop a deeper friendship because they can make me a better person in God's eyes. Other people I do care, but I know some people I cannot be too closely associated with because I might be, you know, badly influenced by their so-called bad behavior. Although I want to correct them if I see a mistake, they might not like me. So check your friends list. See, among your so-called friends, are there any enemies? Among your so-called friends, are there so-called true friends? Among your friends, are there teachers? Someone who corrects you when you make a mistake. Cherish such friends who correct instead of one who always flatters you to make you feel good. Lastly, the fourth quality of a true friend is that a true friend counsels. Gives you good advices. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 says that he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. How can you become wise? How can you become wise? Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says that. But if you are closely associated with wise people, you can become wise. But if you're closely associated with fools, according to God's word, those people who don't fear God, they do whatever they want, even that obviously is a mistake or sin or crime. If you are too closely associated with them, you will suffer harm. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 24 verse 21 says that, fear the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with the rebellious. Fear the Lord. Fear God. Fear the King. Be willing to obey the law instead of trying to violate laws and hang out with those people who are like criminals. Proverbs 28 verse 7 says that he who keeps the law is a discerning son, with understanding, wise, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. Who is a glutton? What is a glutton? Jeffrey? A glutton is someone who eats or drinks to excess, or eats or drinks too much. Doesn't know when to stop, okay? And this is someone who, in the contemporary language, parties too much, okay? A party animal. It's a glutton sometimes. Hanging out with gluttons, why would that affect you? Because you might have started a path of drunkenness. When you go party with them too much, laziness. You have work to do, but you don't want to do it, you just want to party. Laziness. As a result, you either fail your classes or not get things that should be done. Finished. And even poverty. Using up all your money, resources, when that is so limited to most of you students. You might get allowance from your parents, but use that wisely. Some of you might have started working a part-time job while you're going to college. These money, you didn't earn easily, so cherish them. Don't spend them on parties. Instead, save them for your future use. But your friends can have a deep impact on how you spend your money, believe it or not. I know a pastor friend who is very wise. He's a very skilled man. He often sees things beneath, under the surface, and offers very good biblical advice. He's the one I will talk to when I need some good advice before making a difficult decision. I cherish his friendship. But do you have a friend who counsels, who gives you very wise advices based on the Bible? Sometimes our lives can become dark, no hope, you're in trouble. Such a wise person can shed light when you're in trouble or in darkness, you don't know how to make a decision. And you'll be amazed of the insight such a friend can give you, and you'll see light again when you have wise friends like that. True friends are gifts from God. Gifts from God. When you see them, you should cherish them as if you cherish a diamond, a precious diamond. Then you develop them to make them priceless fruits of your life. There was a pebble that was picked up by a child on the banks of the Orange River in South Africa in 1866. It was identified later as a 21 carat diamond. A child picked up a pebble that turned out to be a diamond. But that was just the first step in opening the diamond fields of that region, which have become the greatest in the whole world. And then to bring out the beauty of a gem diamond, it's only in the form of a pebble when you pick that up. A number of processes are necessary. These processes, which include weaving, same as cutting or sawing, polishing, they are generally called diamond cutting. The primary object of diamond cutting is to bring out the fire, they call fire in the diamond, or shine and sparkle, and brilliance or brightness of the stone. But equally important is, before doing the cleaving, sawing, cutting, and polishing, there should be a plan. Analyzing the stone with a careful plan to eliminate imperfections, such as cracks, flaws, where to cut the outside stone so that you will not damage the real diamond, and get rid of some of the flaws or cracks, so that a gem of the greatest price, best appearance, and maximum value can be produced. I think same thing for true friendship. It takes godly wisdom to first be able to identify that pebble that is actually a diamond. True friends often look like unattractive pebbles in your life with the treasure hidden behind. When you identify them, be a true friend to them as well. Cherish them. Spend time, spend energy, and even money. Help both of you to become better so that you can bring out in each one of you the maximum value that God has planned for you. And you need a true friend. I think a true friend who SFCC is really hard to find. A SFCC friend is very hard to find. But God has given us one true friend beyond the value of all true friends. Who is this person? I heard some sounds. Did you put up your hand? Oh, what's your name?
May.
May. Okay. So. Okay. I add. In the Bible, we have read about a friend who is better than any true friend that we can find in this world. Who is that person? May. That's okay. I'm just trying to get your attention. Alright? So, this friend is Jesus Christ. This friend is Jesus Christ. Using the four qualities I just mentioned, you see that Jesus Christ has all these four qualities, SSCC. And John chapter 15 verse 13 says that greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ is the greatest true friend we can find because he died for us. He died for us when we were sinners, when we were not enemies, and yet he died for us as if we were his friends. SSCC, Jesus saved us by dying for our sins. Jesus forgives our sins if we trust him alone to be saved. Jesus corrects us from our sins, mistakes, through the Holy Spirit and his holy word. Jesus counsels us through the Holy Spirit and his living word. Do you have Jesus as your true friend already? Put up your hand if Jesus is your true friend. That means you have trusted Christ alone to be saved. That means you are sure that you are going to heaven. If not, if Jesus is still not your true friend, my friend, talk to me. And I would like to share with you the best news of all, that Jesus Christ is waiting for you to be, for him to be your best friend, to be your true friend. You know what? Friendship is a two-way street. Jesus Christ is your true friend, but he also expects you to be his friend. What can we do to be Jesus' good friend? We cannot be crucified for Jesus. Jesus doesn't need that. Jesus has everything that he needs. And Jesus doesn't need us to forgive him because he never makes a mistake. Jesus never needs us to correct him because, again, he does not make a mistake. And he's all wise, he does not need our counsel. So how can we be Jesus' true friend when Jesus is already the greatest true friend to all of us? What do you think? Michelle? What does that mean? I mean, so what can we do to be Jesus' friend? Jesus is already our true friend. Do we just continue to be an enemy to Jesus? Or is there something that we can do? Huh? Okay, you trust him, you accept him, but after that, you're already a Christian. How can you continue to grow in the friendship with Jesus, the creator of the universe, the savior of mankind? That's very good. More involved in church, Bible study, pray. Do this, alright? Let's not just know about it and as if we don't really appreciate Jesus' friendship to us. Actually, the Bible tells us that. John chapter 15, verse 12 to verse 14, where I just read John 15, 13, it says that greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. But before that, it says that my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Verse 14 tells us that you are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus Christ is your true friend, but you can be Jesus' friend if you obey Jesus' command in the Bible, all the teaching in the Bible. Those things that God asks us not to do, we don't do it. What God asks us to do, we do it. Because we cherish Jesus as our true friend. And we can also be other people's true friends by SFCC. So, what does SFCC represent? Put up your hand. S, what does that represent? Alex?
Save.
F.
Forgive.
C. Correct. Second C.
Counsel.
Remember this and appreciate Jesus' true friendship to you, and use these qualities to help you identify true friends in your life, cherish them, and you yourself be a SFCC friend. Alright? Will we do that? Okay, let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that gives us wisdom even in making true friends. I just pray that while we're still young, we fear you and we're willing to obey your word, and we grow in wisdom besides growing in our bodily size to be stronger, to be taller, but let us grow in wisdom, because it is wisdom that will bring blessings in our life. We're so easily influenced by our so-called friends. We'll be influenced in a good way if we have true friends according to the Bible. But we already have such a good friend, the best friend of all, true friend, Jesus Christ. I pray that each one of us will cherish our friendship with Jesus. He laid down his life for us when we were sinners, when we were his enemies, and yet he died for us as if we were his friends. And let us grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ by obeying all his commands for our good. I pray that you would put true friends in our lives who would help to encourage us to grow in wisdom and in our understanding of God's word, and helping us to do God's word so that we'll be eternally blessed. I pray that you also give us wisdom to not to be too closely associated with the false friends. We love them, but we don't do what they do. If we don't have the strength to not do what they do, sometimes we might say, just let me keep a distance from these people for now. Just pray for them while they're doing things against God's will. I pray that all of us can be true friends, and in at least starting from here, in each Bible study group, each one of us will try to help each other out, forgive each other when we offend each other, and we will try to correct each other's mistakes out of love, and we'll also try to counsel each other based on what we have learned from the Bible that can help someone who is making a tough decision. Thank you again for your holy word that does not deceive, but that counsels. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.